Book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, chapter number 4. We'll read all 21 verses of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Paul's writing. He's writing his last words. These are his last letter before he departs this world. He's writing it to Timothy. He's instructing Timothy. He's teaching. He's trying to instill some things in this young man's life. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul's writing. He's in prison in Rome. In verse 4, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." Verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure inflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me only, but unto them also that love His appearing." Verse number 9. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved his present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is unprofitable unto me for the ministry. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I have left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments." Verse 14, "Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our works. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all Gentiles might hear, and I delivered them out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Oporpus." Verse number 21. Here's my text. "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eblis, greet thee. Do thy diligence to come before winter." In our text, Paul stated earlier, he's about to depart the world. We see that in verse number 6. His departure's at hand. He's come to the end of his life. He's writing these words to Timothy. They're important words. Not only I believe they're important because it is the Word of God. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. But I believe they're important because it's the words of a dying man. The last words. And we can see what type of man, what type of Christian this one Apostle Paul truly is. He's telling Timothy. He's giving a charge to Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy. He requests some things from Timothy. He tells Timothy in verse number 13 to bring his cloak. That's his coat. To bring the books. And to bring the parchments, that's papers that he could pen, that he could write, he could scribble on. We know Paul in 64 A.D. was put to death. His head was separated from his body from Nero, Nero was upset. The city had burnt many fires. He blamed the Christians. He placed Peter to be executed. We know he executed, or Paul rather, he executed Peter. History tells us upside down on a cross. Paul, being a Roman citizen, would not be crucified on a cross, so they beheaded Paul. Some say, legends, some commentators say it was the same day, I don't know, but Paul, Peter had been martyred, been executed for their faith, for their belief in Christ. But he tells Timothy in verse number 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse 21, to do thy diligence to come before winter. I'm going to preach on the thought. Won't be long tonight. To do thy diligence. I see number one in our text in chapter 4 that Paul gives a charge. He charges Timothy. Here we see in verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God. Now verse 2, he says, to preach the word. He's telling Timothy to preach the word. Not with enticing words of men. He's telling Timothy, don't preach the words to tickle, to soothe the ears, the mind, the soul of those that want to hear. He's telling Timothy, if my word is hated, if God's word is refused, to preach the word. If it's rejected, to preach the word. If it's despised, to preach the word. Timothy, there's coming a time that it's going to be outdated. It's going to be considered intolerant. It's not going to be relevant to their eyes, but to preach the word. He's telling Timothy, don't preach your opinions. Timothy, don't preach your preferences or your desires or social wins or social likes or dislikes, but to preach the word. It's a charge to Timothy. It's a charge to me. It's a charge to you to preach the word. You say, I'm not a called preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. But we see that this preaching here, it's one's to be a herald. He's saying to preach this book. He's saying there's going to come a time, we find in verse number 3, that they will not want to hear the truth. They'll reject my word. They'll reject me. They'll reject the one that gave his life for mankind. They'll make up. They'll invent. They will follow such things that they consider truth. But I want to say tonight, it doesn't matter what modern academia, it does not matter what a hireling pastor, it does not matter what college professors say about my God, my Savior, or the Word of God tonight. They say that they don't want to hear it, but Jesus said, I am the bread of life. They may want to refuse and reject His words, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. They want to refuse and reject Christ. That's fine. That doesn't matter. For Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. They say they may reject me, reject religion, and reject this so thing called Christianity. That's okay. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Some say that they may be some other way, but Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. They said that their ears don't want to hear my word. They'll turn away. They'll despise the truth. But that's okay. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He's telling Timothy in this charge to preach the word. It means, it's a Greek word, to be a herald, to take the role, the position to officiate as a herald. We know a herald in these days was an official messenger from a royal king. It was one that precedes, that goes before, that's a forerunner of royalty. This herald would bring good news. This herald would bring tidings. This herald would proclaim announcements. And we've been given this charge tonight. We've been called to be a herald. You may not be a preacher or a pastor, but you're a herald. You're part of the royal family. You've been adopted, a son of God, blood bought. You can give what the Word of God has to say. You have something to say, how Jesus Christ forgave you, how He redeemed you, how He gave you for your sins. And He's done it for you, and He can do it for others. And we can tell the lost and dying world that the King is coming. We have a responsibility. It's a charge that Paul tells Peter to preach the word, to testify of my goodness, to testify of my mercy, to tell people about my loving kindness and my grace. A charge to preach the word. You know, when I come to church, That's what I want to hear, is the Word of God being preached. Open the book, take a text, preach the Word, and tell me what the God has to say. Whether it's expository preaching or allegory preaching or loud preaching or quiet preaching, just preach the Word. What does the Word of God have to say? Paul gives Timothy a charge. But number two, I see Paul gives Timothy and he deals with his companions. He talks about many companions in chapter number 4. He speaks of friends. He speaks of acquaintances. Many's left him. Most has left his side. Many's bailed out upon him. In verse number 10, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Paul's saying that Demas has left me. When Paul needed a friend, when Paul could have used a helper, when Paul could use a prayer warrior, when Paul could have used a companion, no one is being found. Demas saw the lights of Rome. He heard the sounds of Rome. He saw what the world had to offer, and he'd rather go to the world than to have Christ. He'd rather have the riches and the prestige of the world than to have the old preacher man, Apostle Paul. He began to look around, and he loved the world. He said, "I'd rather have the riches of this world. I'd rather have the entertainment. I'd rather have the well-watered plains of Jordan than to have Christ." And he tells us his companion, "Only Luke stood with me." It was only Luke that stood beside Paul during his departure days, during his dying days. Everyone had left him. Everyone had departed. Everyone had forsaken him. But he's telling Timothy, "Timothy, don't feel sorry for me. Even though my companions, even though my friends have left me, even though where no one's to be found," he says in verse number 17, "notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." I'm glad that the Lord can stand with us when no one else can. When no one's to be found, there will be our Savior standing in the shadows. The Lord has said it's going to deliver the Gentiles. That was me. That was you out of the mouth of the lion, and we will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. Paul, I noticed, gave up everything to serve Christ. He gave up his position in church. We know Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Paul, he gave up and was completely forsaken by most of his companions. Paul gave up his comfort in life. We know that most of Paul's ministry, he was found hungry. He was found wanting. He was found cold. He didn't have adequate clothing most of the time. And at the end of the life, this great man of God, this faithful soldier that had kept the fight, that had finished his course, that had kept the faith, he's saying, "All I have left is that cloak I left in Troas, a few books and a few pieces of paper I want to write on. But Timothy, don't feel sorry for me. I have everything. Down in this dungeon, where it's cold, where it's dark, where it's damp, I believe Paul was singing, was probably saying something like this: I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, that they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." Paul's companions had left him, yet Paul had everything. He had Jesus Christ standing and strengthening him. When the world, I notice, passed us by, and when our friends can't be found, and when we're forsaken by all and by everyone, when our health has failed, when we're found frail and weak, notwithstanding, there will be the Lord. There will He be standing. There He will strengthen. There He will deliver you. And let me submit to you tonight, He is the only companion we need. He will be true and faithful friend. Paul deals with this charge in chapter 4. He deals with these companions in chapter 4. He deals with a conclusion. Notice verse number 6. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul's saying, "I'm ready to be offered." Goes back to the Old Testament priests. They would take that drink offering, that cup that was full of that liquid, that drink, and they would pour out that drink upon the sacrifice. They would pour out that drink offering upon the altar. They would pour out it all. They would give it all till it was all a given. And that's what Paul was saying. I've gave everything. I'm all used up. My cup is empty. But Timothy, I have no regrets. I wouldn't done it different. I fought this good fight. I finished this course, this path that's in front of me, and I have kept the faith. I want to say tonight, I want to be like the old preacher. I want to be like Apostle Paul, this great man of God. When my conclusion of life is coming to an end, I don't want regrets. I don't want to say if I had only, if I wished I had, if I could only do it over. I don't want regrets. Paul, I notice in our text, he used every opportunity to serve Christ. Every chance to preach. Every chance to proclaim. Every moment to glorify his Lord and his Savior. No wonder Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it for all to the glory of God. Time is running short in Paul's life. Paul's coming to his end. Time is running out. And what is this final conclusion going to be in Paul's life? My question to you is tonight, winter's coming. What's your final conclusion going to look like? Let me say tonight, if you're going to do something for God, you better do it now. If you're going to do something for God, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Fight this good fight. Finish this course and keep the faith. Paul deals with a charge. He deals with his companions. He deals with the conclusion of his life. It's coming to an end. He's down in this dungeon. I believe, Pastor, they called it the Maritime Prison. It was a small prison cell that they would keep those political prisoners, those revolutionary prisoners, criminals. And then below and underneath the cell was where Paul was kept. It was only accessible by letting down an 8-foot by 6-foot dungeon underneath the cell there in Rome was where Paul was kept. And he's giving the charge. He's telling of his companions. He's telling of his conclusion. But I want to see lastly, and I'll be short in the message, the command that he gives. Verse 9. He gives Timothy a command. He says, do thy diligently, diligence to come shortly unto me. And then verse 21, to do thy diligence to come before winter. Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you better hurry up. Timothy, you better pick up your pace. Timothy, you better hustle up because winter is coming. Winter's coming, Timothy. I can feel the chill in the air. I can feel a cold in the dungeon. It seems that the leaves are falling. The birds have stopped singing. The branches are bearing. Timothy, do your diligence and come before winter. This morning, our pastor, he opened the service by saying his favorite month of the year is September. And right, September is right before April. Two great months. One in the spring. Time is blooming. Flowers are blooming. Birds are chirping. It's life. It's springtime. It's a great time of year. And the other one is September. It's past summer. It's not as hot. It's before winter. It's not as cold. It's almost perfect weather like we see outside. But even though September is his favorite time of year, you better be aware, winter is coming. Winter is coming. Let me say tonight, winter will come to each and every one of us here tonight and listening to those by the way of internet. If it's springtime, if it's summertime, in the seasons of your life, right now, you better rejoice. You better lift your hand. You better raise your voice and thank God because winter is coming. Winter, we find it's a literal season in Paul's life and it's a season figuratively in Paul's life. Winter is coming, Timothy. Do your diligence. Hustle up. Don't be slow, but make haste and come before winter. Paul, as I said earlier, is fixing to be martyred. He's going to be executed. He's going to be put to death for his faith in Christ. And there in his prison, we find he's saying, Timothy, hurry. Do your diligence. Winter is coming. Verse 13. Notice what Paul wants before winter. Before winter comes, Paul's just wanting three things. In verse 13, he said, the cloak that I left at Troas. That's his outer garment. It was a garment wore over his clothes. It was what we'd call a modern day coat. He's saying it's getting chilly. We can see the words of an aged man in this text. He's saying my bones are brittle. My skin is thin. My blood has grown thin. He's saying, Timothy, I'm a little chilly. I need my coat before winter. But he also says in verse 13, he says, bring with thee the books. There's some books that Paul was wanting to read. I don't know what kind of books they were, but I believe they may have been some books that spoke of Christ. Maybe talked about some miracles that he performed that's not written in the Word of God. You say, preacher, Jesus performing miracles that's not in our Word of God? Oh, yes. John said if the miracles were written, were penned down, every one of them, the world itself could not contain the books therein. Maybe Paul was wanting to read a little bit more about his Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, bring my coat, bring my books. But in verse 13, he says, but especially the parchments, just papers. Paul had a few more things to say, maybe a few more letters to write. Maybe a few more love letters he wanted to write to his friends and his companions to tell them how faithful they've been to him and how much he appreciated them. Maybe he wanted to tell everyone, the churches he wrote to, how good God had been to him. He wanted to testify one more time. He's saying, bring my coat, bring my books, bring the papers, because winter is coming. We find here that I don't know if Timothy received this message. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But I began to think, what if Timothy received this message, took these words, he saw the aged man of God, knew he was in Rome, knew he was in prison, and said, well, it's still spring. It's still summer. I have plenty of time. All the time I need, there's no reason to rush. There's no reason to make haste. I still have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months left before winter. I can see Timothy maybe procrastinating, maybe waiting a little bit and starting to sail across the Mediterranean there to Rome. And him arriving to this maritime jail, walking up to the prison and asking the guards, saying, my name's Timothy. I'm here to see the man of God, Apostle Paul. I have his coat. I have some books. I have some papers I want to give to him. I could hear those prisoners say, well, it's good to meet you, but I'm sorry that you're too late. Apostle Paul, just a few days ago, was executed. He was beheaded. He's laying out there in that common grave site where they put criminals, where they put those that are executed outside the religion. I'm sure Timothy would only wish he would have went sooner. He would only made haste if he had only not procrastinated, if he had not only waited and started to sail sooner. I want to say tonight, winter's coming. Don't wait. Three things and I'm done. Number one, winter's coming to every family. Every family is going to face winter. Winter's coming to your family. And I want to say tonight, parents, if you have young children, grandparents, if you have young children in here, if they're babies, if they're young kids, if they're adolescent adults, You better enjoy them while you can. You better love them now. You better teach them now. You better instill in them now. You better spend time with them now. You better train them now, because there's coming a day that they'll grow up. They'll leave home. They'll be on their own. And winter has come to your family. Don't let the life seasons pass you by. You'll look around. You'll see them babies as they're young. Think you have all the time in the world. And when you look around, they're getting married and leaving home. Winter's coming. It's getting cold. Don't wait. I placed in my notes, let's put the seed in them when it's still spring and summer. When winter comes, that ground grows hard. That land becomes barren. The ground is frozen. There's nothing you can plant. There's nothing you can instill. We better do it now. We need to pray for them now. We need to enjoy them now. We need to get them to God now. Before you know it, winter is coming. It comes to our families. Every family. To every man. To every dad. To those grandparents that you may love so dear. Those parents, those elders, men and women, that's been so kind to you in your life, that's sacrificed for you, that's given to you, that's went without for you, that's loved you, that's prayed for you, that's provided for you. We better tell them now how much we love them. We better tell them now how much we appreciate them. We better give those roses now to them before we place them there at their grave. Why? Because winter comes to every family. I want to say, if you want to do something now for your family, you better do it. Do your diligence. Make haste. Because winter's on the way. Number two, and I'll be done. Winter will come to every family. Winter's going to come to every field. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse number 4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What Jesus was saying is, there's coming a time when I won't be able to work in this field. There's coming a time when it's going to be hot or cold. My ministry, this field, this position is going to be barren. There won't be work to do, so we need to do it now. And if God's given us a field, if God's given us a ministry, whether it's down on the job, whether it's in the classroom or in your family, we better minister to them now. We better witness to them now. We better give a tract to them now. We better pray for them now, because there's coming a time when that sun will stop shining, that gentle breeze will start blowing, and winter will be on arrival. The time is coming. The landscape will be barren. The ground will be unfruitful. And winter will engulf our field. Whatever field God's placed us in, we need to do it for the glory of God. We need to do it hastily, diligently, faithfully, fervently. We need to do it joyfully. I'm afraid, though, many of us, maybe you, listening by the way of internet, you used to look for ways to witness to God. You used to look for ways to work at the church. You used to look for ways to be blessings to others, or to share the gospel, or to be a help. But now winter's come in your field. You've grown cold. You've grown despondent. You've grown indifferent, and your field is unfruitful. Winter has come. It comes to every family. It comes to every field. But it also will say, it comes to every future. Paul, his life has come to an end. Paul's life is coming to a place where he knows it's the last few hours of his life. He has nothing to give. He's been poured out. He's gave his all. He's fought this good fight. He's kept this faith. He's finished his course. And all he wants is a coat, some books, and some papers to write on. Paul, looking back in fall and in summer and in the springtime of his life, I think he said, I don't regret 1 minute of serving Jesus Christ. No doubt he said, I don't regret 1 second of living for God. I don't regret one thing I instilled to the people. I don't regret preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto them all also that love his appearing. Why? Why, Paul? Why should we be diligent? Why should we make haste? Why should we hurry up? Why should we labor hard? Because winter's coming. And when you come to the end of your life, you don't look back with regrets. Paul's telling Timothy, my journey's done. Winter's here. I can do nothing else, Timothy. Just bring my coat, bring some books, bring some paper. But Timothy, you still have a future. You still have spring. You still have summer. You still have fall. There's still work to be done. You can still preach. You can still proclaim Christ. You can still help others. You can still love your children. You can still be a blessing to your parents. You can be faithful to Christ. You can be faithful to the church. Timothy, you have time. You have a future. But you better hurry, Timothy, because winter's coming. There's some here tonight. You may be lost, undone without Christ. You've heard the gospel preached and taught in your life, but yet you've waited and waited and waited. How long are you going to wait? You better not wait, because winter's coming. We find it's September 13th. It's a few weeks, a few months before winter. But before you know it, those chilly winds will begin to blow. That cold will set in. But there's still time. I placed in my notes just a few minutes ago, winter's coming, literally. We clean the chimney at home. We stack the woodshed full of wood. We fill the oil tank. We pull out the quilts and the blankets. We're preparing for winter. But my question to you is, what are you doing to prepare for the winter of life? Winter for your family. Winter for your field. Winter for your future. There's going to be winter coming, but it's not too late. We can come to this altar tonight. We can come and we can start preparing now. We can submit ourselves. We can start laboring. Verse 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Make haste, Timothy. Labor hard, Timothy. Put forth effort, Timothy. Speed up, Timothy. Come before winter. Benjamin Franklin said, time is a sacred resource. If it's wasted, it cannot be recovered. He said, lost time is never found again. He went on to say, time is free, but time is priceless. You can own time. You can't own time, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. But once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Don't let spring, don't let summer, don't let fall pass you by, because winter is coming. Let's stand tonight. Misty, you have something to play, something to sing. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the words of a dying man that's faithfully fought this fight, the good fight of faith, that's faithfully finished his course, that's kept his faith, that encourages us, that exhorts us to be diligent, to do the work that you've called us to do. No doubt, Father, we'll get to the end of our lives, our ministries, and look back and say, only if I wish that I had a few more hours, a few more days, a few more months. Lord, I pray that you would instill in us the importance that winter's coming. Father, for us to prepare, for us to be ready, for us to diligently seek you and pray for the lost. God, help us tonight. You know the needs of the hour. You know the needs of the congregation. Lord, I pray if there's any among us that's lost, it's undone. Father, they wouldn't wait. We know today's the day of salvation. If they'd call upon your name, if they would seek you, ask you, Father, to forgive them of their sins, to come to their heart, come to their life, to confess you as Lord and Savior, that you'd save them. God, give them the faith, give them the strength to do so. We'll praise you and love you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.